Everybody, this is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also freely available as a downloads on iTunes. Today I'm excited about chatting with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I want to say hey to Isabel. Hey, how's it going today?
Hey, it's going pretty good.
I'm really excited to have you as a guest and to be in the same time zone. So we're both actually talking to each other at the same time.
Yeah, that's nice. I certainly am not usually out on this time zone, so it's been nice to be on the same time zone as a lot of people out here that I usually am in communication with.
Oh, cool. So to get us started formally, would you introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are and where you're from, and if you don't mind, how old you are and what you do to keep busy.
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm Isabel. I currently live in Utah. I've lived there since I was 12, but I've lived in a good amount of states in my 24 years. I'm 24 years old. That keeps me busy. I just graduated from college, so I'm currently trying to figure out what's next. So that's keeping me pretty busy these days. But on a normal day, I am a little bit obsessed with animals, so I do all that I can to have that in my life. I love the outdoors. I like to go hiking, go camping, just go for drives when I don't feel like being active. I still want to be outside. Watch a lot of movies, hang out with friends, music, and so on and so forth. Basically, whatever sounds like a good time, I'm there for it.
Living the dream.
Try to.
Yeah. What did you study in college?
My degree is wildlife and wildland conservation.
Oh, wow. That's different. What got you interested in that?
Yeah. I've definitely been blessed to have always kind of been on the same path in my life. Ever since I was a child, I've loved animals. So I always knew I wanted to work with animals. And as I thought all kids wanted to do, I thought everyone was like me, and everyone wanted to be a vet when they were younger. So I was on that track all throughout until I got to high school. And then I kind of figured, like, well, I don't really know if I want to be a vet anymore, but I still want to work with animals. And that was where I found my degree when I got to college. I changed my degree a couple of times. It was all in the same realm, but I just got more and more specific. I started off in biology, then I changed that to conservation biology, and then ended up where I am now with wildlife and wildlands conservation.
So what kind of jobs are there in that field? And like, where would you work? Like, would you have to be in a certain part of the country to find a decent job?
Yeah, that's a good question. The degree itself prepares me to be a wildlife biologist, which I knew from the get-go that I do not really want to be. It's been really cool, but I just there are aspects that I'm not as interested in in that field. But I'm using this as kind of like a stepping stool to get where I want to be, which is more kind of of working directly with animals in zoos and sanctuaries, and education. I kind of learned through a lot of my internships in this field that I love to teach about animals. I love to interact with people and kind of share my passion for the world with those who are just with the public in general.
Yeah. So, I mean, that all sounds like that requires a lot of interaction and communication. So, like, does stuttering get in the way at all, or has that been a challenge?
It's certainly been a little bit of a challenge. I think when I first began, I was definitely the most freaked out by it, and I was more of a problem at the beginning because I just wasn't used to it. I never had a problem speaking to people, but it's very different when I have to lead a discussion about one topic and have to kind of be in front of all these people. I've led a lot of tours of the places that I've worked, and so I have like not like a script per se, but a set kind of fact that I'm supposed to relay to these guests as they come through. And I know at the very beginning I was so nervous to give these tours, which then made me speak really, really, really fast, which is not, as you know, is not like a, that doesn't in itself cause me to stutter, but certainly doesn't help the stutter either. But really just kind of after I just did it and then just kind of kept being involved and kept doing those things, I really don't have any problems with it now. Like I said, I've been giving a lot of tours of places that I've worked. My last job, I was giving animal shows to kids for about 2.5 years. So I certainly kind of had just to learn to get over that fear with that. And it's been great, honestly. It's I really enjoy it. So I'm glad that I didn't let myself get too intimidated by this.
Yeah, because, you know, I asked that because, as I'm sure you're aware, many people who stutter tend to shy away from positions where they're going to have, you know, heavy contact with the public. And, you know, for myself, for example, I had thought about being a teacher when I was at your age, but I was convinced that I couldn't be. Because, you know, if I stuttered while I was standing up in front of children, that would be, you know, I'd be a poor role model, or who would want to talk to me or listen to me as a teacher. So I pretty much convinced myself that I couldn't do that. And it's just nice. It's really heartening for me now. Being more mature, seeing younger people coming along who stutter and don't let that dictate their career choices. Because obviously we can do anything we want, you know, if we have the real passion for it, which it sounds like you really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really, really do. And it's interesting that, because where I'm at now with it is that because you just mentioned that you were worried about being a poor role model for these kids, and I see it as the opposite, where I would have loved to have seen someone that was like me that just was out there and didn't let themselves kind of hide away because they were scared. For whatever reason, like not just for having a stutter. So, as a way, like to me, I obviously it feels really weird to like say I want to be a role model, but I do. I really want to kind of be the kind of person that I would have wanted to look up to.
Yeah. Oh, I totally get what you're saying, because I think for me, it would have been a game changer as a kid and even as a teenager had I met anybody else that stuttered, but particularly an adult who was successful, you know, because growing up, I don't know if you had the same experience, but because I'd never met somebody else who stuttered, I thought it was only me. So, you know, I felt weird. I felt awkward. I just felt like it was better off that, you know, I not talk and not advertise the fact that I stuttered. So, I would have just really appreciated knowing that I wasn't the only person in the world, which was silly, but I think lots of people think that when we're dealing with, you know, something like this. So how do like children respond to you when you're giving a presentation and you do stutter?
Yeah. I mean, kids are kids. And so like, things that they don't understand or they find strange, I'll call out for sure. So in my experience, it's a lot of mimicking. I get kids that are like, wait, like what was that just there? And we'll do it back to me to kind of say like this, like, what is this thing you're doing? I found that if I don't make a big deal out of it, if I just kind of move on, then that's usually the response that the kids will do as well. So I'll just like, okay. And kind of accept that as the normal for me. I do sometimes, I don't advertise very often in like my shows and my presentations. Just because I've gotten to a point where I'm not all that fluent when I'm speaking to these big groups of people. It's a lot more when I'm on interacting with these smaller groups that I'm a little bit more fluent. But a lot of times I'll advertise it at the beginning of my show. It's like, hello, by the way, I have a stutter, so if I sound kind of weird, that's what's happening, and it's fine. And if you can't understand me, just ask me to repeat what I said, and I'll hopefully be able to do that in a more fluent manner. But you just kind of just address it and act as if as normal, because it is. It's just a little bit different. And then I haven't had a lot of problems with it, honestly.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Because not everybody has that experience.
Mm-hmm. I'm certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been, honestly, like, I recognize how lucky I've been in a lot of my encounters with people. I mean, I've had a lot of hard things happen to me as well, but hearing these stories of my friends, Tess Sutter, and all of the terrible things that people say and do to them, I've experienced, I feel like I've experienced that on a much smaller scale than other people do.
Well, you're very lucky. So it sounds like you had a good supportive family environment as you were growing up.
Oh yeah. For sure. My family is the best. I mean, they supported us like in every aspect of our lives. And, so growing up, it just wasn't a big deal. And honestly, like for the majority of my childhood, I really just kind of ignored it. And I just kind of blocked it out. And it happened because I had this letter since I was 8 years old. So it's always been there, but I just like ignored it. And we didn't ever speak about it, but it wasn't because it was like this, the taboo thing. I just blocked it out, which then kind of caused for a little bit of a volcano of feelings when I eventually addressed it. But at the time growing up, I just kind of blocked out all those feelings about my stutter, and my family was just there to kind of support me through all of those instances of my childhood where I was disfluent. When I had those kind of struggles, they were always there.
Yeah. Did you ever have speech therapy as a kid?
Like once. I've just never really been into speech therapy, probably because of my experience with this though. In middle school, I started seeing a speech therapist at the school just a couple of times. I honestly don't even remember how long I was seeing her, but you know, I would get pulled out of class when I was in the seventh grade. I was like 12 or 13, and I would get pulled out of class, and I would just read to her from these children's book. I would just go and sit in this room for an hour or so and just read from these books, and I was never this fluent in front of her. I was never whatever, and so she definitely kind of that was kind of a weird relationship where I, because I didn't have any this fluency in front of her, it was kind of an odd speech therapy relationship. But I didn't really ever enjoy it. I just felt like I just, because she didn't really know anything about past stuttering or that was what I had perceived, so we just sat and I would just read her stories, and I would come back to class, then come back again, read stories, go back to class. So
that's weird.
I didn't really ever do anything, so I did not pursue that after that. And then the next time that I tried speech therapy was after I finally addressed my feelings of stuttering, which is when I was a freshman in college. And so my college offered free speech therapy for people that were at my school because they have a grad program for speech therapists. And so I was able to go and attend for free by going to these grad students. And that was actually a good experience. I learned a lot of techniques to kind of aid influencing and whatnot. But I just, same thing, I was just there for a few months. And I was like, okay, that was like, I just have never really been into speech therapy personally. But
what college did you attend that had the program?
I attended Brigham Young University in Utah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I tried speech therapy years ago through a university that offered communication sciences disorders program, and my therapy was with graduate students that were becoming therapists, and I never particularly found it useful either. But you said that like you pursued therapy after like the volcano of feelings like started coming out. So what was that? Like, did you just all of a sudden have more of an awareness of stuttering?
So I don't honestly, I don't really remember a lot of the events that led to me kind of like to finally addressing this and whatnot, but I remember it happened the December after my first semester of college, and we were at my aunt's house, and we were in his bedroom, and I was there with my mom, and I think I had like a big block or something. I was like, you know what, Mom, I hate this, and I was like just crying. I was like, I hate this about myself. I want to start crying now too, but I just told her how much this thing was affecting me, and she had no idea. I mean, like honestly, her face when I told her, it's stuck with me all these years because of how, I mean, it just dropped, and because she had no idea how, because my entire childhood I just kind of ignored it, and so no one really knew how much it had affected me, you know. And so I think telling her and being able to kind of address those feelings and let them out. Ever since then, I've been on like the journey of acceptance and kind of learning to love that about myself. But it's been really hard, and a part of that was admitting to myself and to my friends, my family, that I was having a hard time with it. I was really struggling. Whatnot. Mm.
So, wow, that sounds like that was like a really remarkable experience. Do you think that just by doing that, like, you know, getting that off your chest and admitting it, did that make carrying this, did it make carrying stuttering around a little bit easier once you'd like openly said, yeah, this is hard, this sucks?
100%, yeah. I mean, even the spot where I am now compared to that moment, I feel amazing. Like it's kind of like black and white, where even then when I first admitted it, like, you know what, this is really hard for me. And now where I have kind of learned to love this part of myself and kind of see the impact it's made on my life for the better. I think it's made me a better person for sure. I feel like I'm able to not judge people by what I see on the surface, because that's happened to me so many times. I feel like it's made me learn to treat people in a way that I want to be treated, which is, you know, I feel like that's like a golden rule that we all learned in kindergarten, but it's one that was taught to me, I think, by having a stutter for sure.
Yeah. I like the way you put that, because I too have found that, you know, owning my stuttering and being authentic, 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 authentic and showing my real self to other people, you know, invites them to do the same with their thing, you know, and I think people like really respect the fact that, because they may think, oh, it's no big deal, you stutter, so what? But when we like share like that part, like it's really hard being vulnerable in front of people, you know, like it's hard. I think people kind of respect the fact, at least with me, that I can admit that, and that being vulnerable, you know, with other people, I think most people honestly, secretly, deep down want that, you know, and here we are, it happens by default, because, you know, when we go to speak, we stutter, so, yeah, I think it's a real good, relationship builder, and, it's also a filter, sort of, right, because, like, you can tell, like, if you want to, spend more time with a person, based on how they react to mm-hmm. how you talk. Does that kind of resonate?
Yes, it really does. I am immediately turned off of a person based if they react in a way where they make me feel bad about the way that I speak. And I've had a couple of instances that have happened like that, and I immediately like, okay, well, I just don't care to be around that person anymore. There are instances where I've kind of had to educate them, these people, after they basically just insult me, by mocking me or making jokes or what have you. But honestly, I feel like a lot of times people make those jokes and they just because they don't know right. how to react or even or what's going on. So, being in a place now where I feel okay to even like address my stutter with other people and speak about it freely, I feel a lot more equipped to kind of handle my hurt feelings by when people mock me and say, hey, that's not cool. And I'll call them out on it and say, here's what's happening. And a lot of times they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I'm like, okay, well, well, now you do. So for the future, but I certainly have not always been in a place where I would call people out on that. I would just kind of like, oh yeah, it's funny, whatever. But I feel like you have to kind of be loud and be in charge of how people treat you in your life, and you have to dictate and set the rules for what's okay and what isn't okay.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And sometimes, you know, I find it interesting when people respond like you described, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. Well, you shouldn't act like a jerk and mimic and, you know, laugh at somebody regardless. Like, even if you you shouldn't act like that anyway, despite the fact that you didn't know that, you know, I stutter. That's just not a respectful, compassionate way to interact with people, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So what's been the tipping point for you? I mean, you seem well on your way to the acceptance path with stuttering. Did something in particular help you get to where you're at now?
For sure. And 'cause I would say that I'm not on the way that I am there. I mean, obviously it's still hard and you still have days where it really kind of gets you down. But I feel like in general, I am there every day where I do love myself and I love that this is a part of my life. And I've gotten that way. So, I mean, obviously I just said that I started this journey about 4 years ago. And that time of my life, when I kind of addressed these feelings, I just kind of like took to the internet and searched the word stutter, and I found the NSA. And so I went to my first conference that year, in Baltimore, and I just met other people that were like me. I had met someone once before when I was 16 that had had a stutter, but because I just like, was at that time, I was still ignoring it. So I didn't even talk to them about it. It was very obvious that I had a pretty pronounced stutter, but I didn't even address it with them. I just kind of like, oh, that's cool, but I'd never talked to them about it. And then 4 years later, when I was 20, was when I met hundreds of people have stuttered at this conference. And I think that was one of the first times I had felt completely like myself. I didn't have to hide anything about myself was at that conference. And then since then, I've been back a couple of times, and then I started to work with this camp for kids pass-fitter and kind of do that as well. So I think just really just getting myself into pass-fittering community and making friends that share the same thing with me has helped incredibly. Has helped an insurmountable amount. And those are I'm saying weird words now, but yeah, but it's really really helped me for sure.
They're definitely not weird words. It's just coming. It's coming across very very strongly that finding community really helped you to embrace where you're at now. Mm-hmm. So you've been to. So do you attend NSA local support groups or just basically go to the conference every year?
A little of both. I went to my first conference in, 2015?
15, I think it was Baltimore.
Yeah. That was 2015. I went there, and then I when I got home from that was when I first attended a chapter up in Salt Lake City of the NSA. I only went to one of those, and then I just kind of for the next 2 years, I was just kind of on my own kind of thing. And then I went back to my next conference when I was in Chicago last year. And then getting home from that in August of last year, I took over my local chapter of the NSA in Provo, and I have been co-leading that for the last year with someone. It's very new still, and she and I are trying and we're busy, so it really hasn't been we've not been that great at it, I will admit. It's not especially the end of this last year, we were just both busy with school, so our meetings definitely kind of lapsed for a few months, but when I get back in a few weeks, we're going to try to start that pack up again. So it is both that I have tried to be involved in with thriving, the key word.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there a community of people who stutter in the Utah area? Were people coming when you first started the chapter?
Yes, there. So there are two chapters in Utah. There's one in Salt Lake and one in Provo. Mm-hmm. The Salt Lake chapter has been around for a while, so they have a pretty good group that goes. I've only been up there a couple times. And then in Provo, we're called the Utah Valley chapter because we're down south. Not south, we're in the middle of the state. Anyway, that's besides the point. But anyways, we have a pretty good amount of people that I have on the email list and that we stay in contact with. With everyone's lives, it's pretty, everyone's busy. So we don't always get a lot of attendance, but there are a good amount of people around.
Okay. And what's the age range? Is it, from your age on up, or does it tend to be people in their 20s and 30s just everybody?
Yeah, that's a good question. In our chapter, we've experienced having a lot of, it's been pretty young, actually. Mm-hmm. The ones that we have coming regularly are actually kids that.
Oh, cool.
With their parents. We are in an adult chapter, but we have about 3 or 4 kids that come a lot that have been their parents. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice that you're able to be that resource for those kids and those parents to have some place to go and, connect with their tribe. So how did you get involved with Camp Say?
I saw an ad for on Facebook that it was hiring this one year, and so I applied and I got in. So I first attended last summer. I was a counselor last summer, and then last fall I also went to go be a counselor for a weekend out in California. The camp itself is based in, well, the camp itself is in Pennsylvania, and so that's part of the reason why I've been out on the East Coast all summer, because I've been I was out there for a few weeks this year as well. So I love it. It's such an amazing place, honestly. I mean, being around kids who stutter is an amazing opportunity. They're so strong. Like these kids go through some serious stuff. Like it's not easy for sure on them, but they're all awesome, and all the counselors and all the staff is just that spot is one of my favorite places ever. So I love the opportunity to kind of go back to each year and be a part of that.
So what makes it so special? I mean, a camp is a camp, right? Why is what's so special about this?
I can really only speak about what makes it special to me. And to me, what makes it so special is kind of the same feeling that I got the first time that I walked into that conference in Baltimore, was just like being around people who are like me and not feeling alone and not feeling like you were the only one who understands what I mean. So being around people who have gone through the same things that you've gone through, and just being treated like a completely normal person. One of like probably the biggest motto that we have at Camp Say is that everyone has as much time as they need to speak, and that's we're all this. It's just ingrained in us that like everyone's voice is important, and what they have to say matters. And so it instills the patience in us to sit and listen and wait for them to say what they need to say, instead of trying to like hurry them along and say whatnot.
Wow, so it sounds like kids' lives are being changed by going to camp.
I mean, my life has been changed going to camp. So yeah, it's amazing for sure.
I know I saw one of your posts that you put on Facebook soon after you returned to camp was over, and I was so intrigued by that. It just sounded like this really life-altering experience, which provides normalcy to kids that might not feel normal in whatever their environments are. So are you going to continue every summer volunteer, or is it volunteered, or do you get paid?
The summer camp, we're hired on as a counselor. The camp itself is 2 weeks long, and then all the staff goes out for an extra week beforehand to get trained and everything. So it's 3 weeks of the summer, and I would love to keep going for as long as I can. Obviously, like I could have said, I am currently up in the air as far as jobs and whatnot go, and I'm not sure what these next couple years are going to look like. So I would really hope that I am able to keep going. And I'm gonna try for sure. I'm gonna kind of try and make that a priority for my summers. But it'll for sure depend on life and what's going on.
Right. Well, it's, I'm so glad we had this opportunity to chat, because you're right. You're not on the journey to the right place. You're like at the right place. And it sounds like your embrace of stuttering has kind of helped you figure out like what you want to do, and like has shaped you a little bit. So I'm in awe of that. I really am, because it's nice to see young people, especially young women, because we are rare in the starring community, it's nice to see and hear that you're okay, and that you will be okay. So one last question.
Yes.
What piece of advice would you give to a teenage girl just starting her journey out about, you know, dealing with this thing called stuttering?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say that it's okay to take your time to get there. You don't have to accept it immediately. I mean, it's a hard thing to accept. It's a hard thing to love about yourself. And it is like a journey that I feel like you are kind of constantly having to accept that, like, every day about yourself. So it's okay to not be able to do that in one instant. It's gonna take time, and just take it at your own pace.
Wise words from a 24-year-old. Isabel, thank you so much for sharing parts of your story, and for being a guest today. You're really inspiring.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.